Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to our roundtable panel. And more importantly, Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy 2014. I hope everybody had a lovely day yesterday. It seemed like a very mellow day. Everybody was expecting snow and just getting ready. I don't know. It was very mellow in our house.
Really?
I assume it was. Well, I
not in every house.
I realize you have more.
Yeah.
There are attributes to your household that would perhaps make it less than mellow. But
yeah, not a lot of mellow going around.
Yeah, well, I understand.
That's fine, though.
So as it stands now, what do we know?
We know that it's cold.
Okay, we know it's really cold, and wind chills are an issue, and then, of course, the snow is an issue, and it sort of depends on where you are in our listening area.
Right, and as we mentioned in the newscast this morning, Burlington, Vermont already had wind chills reported in the 25 below range, so important, and they always, you know, it's cliche now to dress in layers. Very important, even if you're outside for a short time, just to make sure you are bundled up, and the snow will pick up in intensity. Right now, in the greater Capital District, it's kind of a light snow. It's not driving stinks.
Now, and I will say that coming from the northern part of our region a while ago, we were getting pounded pretty good.
Yep.
And as I came south, it got better.
But again, the roads are
Not better. Not better, just in comparison better.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good day that if you have a banked day that you can call in, or, you know.
Ray and I didn't have one of those, by
no.
the way.
No. It would be a good day to stay home.
We didn't have one of those.
No.
We are going to have our roundtable panel. They're just finishing up. Everybody got a little bit late start. The media project.
Yeah, it's Mike Spain's fault, I understand.
No.
No?
Mike and Judy Patrick and Alan will all come in, and we're just waiting for them to finish up, and then we'll have our panel.
Sure.
But I just wanted to get the latest forecast. And, of course, we'll keep you up to date throughout the day. We'll have a new weather summary at noon on Midday Magazine.
Mr. Cayano will be with us once again. It'll be a busy day for those guys, the meteorologists. They love it, and yeah. B, they work very hard at this time.
There is you have coined the term weather alarmist.
I think. Dave Gustina.
Well, yeah. and we have in this market one weather guy who seems to fit that bill. And I have to say, I love watching him because he's very accurate, and he's very excited. And I kind of like that. I want a guy who takes his job very, very seriously.
We had a storm. You were on vacation in middle of December, and we had a storm, and Rosemary was so tired of me reading the forecast, the warnings. She said, "Everybody stock up on canned goods. Run, run, run." She had quite enough.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, but I went into a local convenience store on my way in, and I went to go get a cup of coffee, tea actually, and I noticed that, you know, like bread gone, milk gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, you never know when the power will be out, or it's a big storm. You don't want to underplay it. You don't want to overplay it.
And you will be back at 10 o'clock and have a new forecast and all of that good stuff.
Well,
that's
what you say. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll be back. We'll get the panel in here, and we will continue and begin our conversation. Raymond, thank you very much. We'll be back this short break.
Support comes from Union Institute and University, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering a doctorate in psychology and master's of arts with a concentration in counseling psychology, weekend classes, and online. myunion.edu. Interim Healthcare, offering support for families during the holidays and 365 days a year with companions, aides, or nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one may remain at home. InterimHealthcare.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. And 10,000 Villages in Stuyvesant Plaza, Albany, and on Main Street in Northampton. Featuring fairly traded home decor and gifts, handcrafted by artisans around the world. 10,000villages.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel, and I'm Joe Donahue. We have a complete panel with us. I was going to offer you water, then I realized I don't have any.
I got coffee.
Oh, good. Okay. Alan Chardock is here. He is of course, WAMC's very own, Alan Chartok. Good morning. Happy New Year to you, sir.
And to you, Joe. And as always, a huge thank you for all you do for
well,
us.
Well, thank you. It's it's nice to it's nice to be here today. And it wasn't like the ride wasn't. Ray and I were just talking about this. The ride wasn't like horrible, but
it's kind of slow.
But it's it'll get that way. So be careful, everybody. Judy Patrick will be with us in just a moment. The editor of the Daily Gazette and the associate editor of the Times Union is with us. Times Union associate editor Mike Spain joins us, and it's a pleasure to have Mike with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year, Joe.
Thank you very much. So let us talk about the healthcare law, because I think we've come this far. Why not start off the new year by talking about healthcare law, right? So the story in the New York Times, which I thought was pretty good, is that the millions gaining health coverage under the law, and sort of took the positive spin. Millions of Americans will begin receiving health insurance coverage under the Affordable Care Act this week, really yesterday, starting yesterday. Yep. And after years of contention and a rollout that was certainly bothered by delays, hobbled by delays and technical problems, the decisively new moment in the effort to overhaul the country's health system will test the law's central premise that extending coverage to far more Americans will improve the nation's health and help many avoid crippling medical bills. Starting Wednesday, health insurance companies could no longer deny coverage to people with pre-existing conditions and could not charge higher premiums to women than to men for the same coverage. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, there came the story, which I found to be very interesting, and maybe somebody could help explain it to me, and temporarily blocking enforcement of the part of President Obama's health care law that requires many employers to provide health insurance coverage for birth control or face penalties. Justice Sonia Sotomayor on Tuesday opened a second front in Supreme Court challenges to the provision. The initial front opened in November when the justices agreed to hear a pair of cases from for-profit companies challenging that provision. Now, Justice Sotomayor has ordered the Obama administration to file a brief by tomorrow morning, responding to a different kind of challenge, this one from groups affiliated with religious organizations.
Yeah, the difference, I believe, is that in November we were talking about companies that might have religious where the owners of the company might have certain religious values, and they cited the Hobby Lobby as an example,
right,
where
yeah,
they don't open on Sundays, and they kind of they say that being required to under the law to provide birth control to its employees was a violation of the owner's religious beliefs, and therefore a violation of his religious rights. So that was the November thing. This one that Sotomayor, Justice Sotomayor, put a hold on, a brief hold on, was to weigh whether religious affiliated employers, like hospitals owned by a church or churches themselves, should be required to provide birth control coverage to their employees if the church's beliefs were contradictory to the birth control. Now, that's a different thing, and they tried to get around that. They tried to get it around it in the past by having the insurer be the one providing it, not having the actual company or the church itself provide it, but having it actually the cost being borne by the insurance company. And that doesn't satisfy a lot of these organizations. So that'll be weighed very quickly. And that is significant. And it could be just another reason, another obstacle for the full success of this program.
What struck me was that an individual justice was bringing this.
Well, what happens, Joe, as you probably know, is that they go to somebody in a particular district who covers that, the Supreme Court justice,
right.
And quite frequently those people are the first look for the court into it, and it doesn't always mean a lot. It's
an emergency measure. Yeah. They'll go to a specific. There was an effort to go to a single justice in the state of Utah to block the issuing of marriage licenses to same-sex couples a couple of weeks ago, and a Supreme Court justice turned that down. But, I mean, you can go to a Supreme Court justice for an emergency stay, so to speak, until the full issue is addressed, and that's going to happen.
And it doesn't matter of what her particular background is.
No, I think it has to do with geographic. And hold me to it. But I think each of the justices has a geographic district which they are responsible for. Is the person that you go to?
And she was available on New Year's Eve because she was in New
Putting
York
down
City.
Bringing the ball down. You know, she was great doing all
so
that.
So did my ear, right?
Absolutely. Ray Graff is with us, by the way.
Hi.
Hello.
Playing
good morning,
the part
Ray.
Of Judy Patrick.
Yeah. We apparently, nobody notified Judy that she was on the panel, apparently. So she left.
I thought we had. But.
Yeah, I thought we had the conversation. That's all right.
She's no doubt listening, and well, we just want to thank her.
I think that was them leaving. I was out checking weather conditions a moment or two ago, and I think they drove by. So,
well, it's a delight to have you.
Nice to be here.
Thank you very much.
Well, not only that, but Ray just said something that I consider to be very powerful. You know, on many of the stations that are on the radio or television, you often scream at the person who is delivering the weather, would you just please look out the window or go outside rather than say, there's an 80% chance of rain and it's pouring outside, which would make it 100%.
Why?
That's true.
It's a very good point. I heard this morning that they said, you know, by the end of the day, we could have 2 to 4 inches. And meanwhile, in my driveway, I probably had 6. And I was like, well, all right.
Well, it's a huge geographic area.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, did you want to weigh in further on the implications of this beyond the...
Well, yes, there are implications. Obviously, you have a sort of permanent 5-4 group on the Supreme Court, so that when that initial justice is doing that look in, I'm sure she and other people are thinking, okay, how is this going to come out when it gets to the top? Now, that court is, and Justice Roberts, we know full well because he's already declared himself on the issue. He said yes, he gave it a pass, but he didn't like it, and he said so on the Obamacare as a total package. So we have what are called originalists, or people who think the Constitution means exactly what it said, that it's not the living, breathing institution that some people say. We know that on the Second Amendment on the gun control. Second, right?
Yeah.
Amendment on the gun control. And now this may be, you know, another opportunity to emphasize freedom of religion, which in itself gets into all kinds of problems, because sooner or later, some guy who owns a bar who has the beer keeper's, religion says I'm protected by the, by the First Amendment.
But it's just another obstacle to the full rollout of the program. And I predict that we're going to start hearing some anecdotal stories. The administration certainly will promote them, where people who had pre-existing conditions are going to get medical care that they were denied before.
Reproductive?
No, just generally speaking.
Okay, because what I think we're talking about.
I think that this issue that Sotomayor put on hold, that is requiring religious affiliated organizations to provide certain birth control through their employees, I think that that'll be resolved. She wants a brief from the administration within a couple days. But it's just another obstacle in the broader issue of whether this program will be successful. And I think that there will be a lot of positive things said.
Well, if I'm the full court and I don't like Obamacare, I'm just trying to play this game. And I'm the 5 as opposed to the 4 more liberal judges who are on the court. And I say to myself, well, listen, if I say that the Catholic hospital, for example, doesn't have to give out birth control information or give the day after pill or whatever else. Now, you know where I stand, but will I ruin the program? And the answer is probably not.
No.
The answer is probably not. This is a small enough nugget to take out of there, unless you're the person who obviously is going to get...
One remedy that had been proposed was that, and it sounds discriminatory, but it was one idea floated that the individuals would have to buy a rider from the insurance company, and that would actually make a woman wanting birth control to have to pay more for their health care than a man would have to pay.
Well, I don't like that.
No.
But that has been floated, and that would be one way around it.
Under the law, religious employers like churches are exempt from the contraceptive requirement. For-profit corporations fall on the other end of the spectrum and are not exempt. Nonprofit groups affiliated with but not owned or controlled by religious organizations, like the organization bringing about this case, Little Sisters of the Poor, and how could you not feel sorry for, I mean, come on, fall in the middle. Although such groups need not provide coverage themselves, they must sign a certification allowing insurance companies to do so. In their brief, the Little Sisters of the Poor say that they would have to pay an annual fine of approximately $2.5 million for an organization that cares for 69 elderly poor people and operates with an annual budget of approximately $6 million.
And that's what Justice Sotomayor put a hold on, that there be any fines levied for people who don't comply until this thing is worked out. And I
it's really not applicable.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I think it will be resolved fairly quickly. There's a couple of remedies out there.
Yes, Alan?
I have nothing.
Oh, okay. All right.
But on the broader topic, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this does roll out. You know, it's got other obstacles to overcome, too, especially getting enough young, healthy people onto the rolls. And that'll be a big campaign, too.
Sure.
I think you're absolutely right, though, when you were saying about we're going to hear the success stories. And I would assume, beginning at the State of the Union, you're going to have this family sitting next to the First Lady up there, and they'll be pointed to that none of those people had health care a year ago, and here they are.
And little Johnny has that condition that he couldn't get any help for, and now he's getting help, and he's going to be well.
And we'll all applaud, and everything will be fine.
Well, Tiny Tim.
You know, you really have put your finger right on it, Joe. I think there's a potential problem in what I'm about to say with both the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats are aware that 49 million people who are uninsured could eventually get put on the rolls.
Right.
This does not appear to those people who are for redistribution of wealth in this country. We see a lot of talk about it with de Blasio and everything else right now. And so, therefore, they're not making a lot about it. They're not talking a lot about it. The Democrats aren't talking a lot about it because there are people in the middle class who object to it. I hate that, but that happens to be the case. And I think therefore that this business of taking steps to make sure that the people who have the least get health care in this country is something that is far too invisible for me.
We welcome your comments, as always, on our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok is here, Ray Graff and Mike Spain. We welcome your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Mike Spain, associate editor of the Times Union. Ray Graff joins us, our intrepid WAMC newsman. And
sitting in for Judy Patrick.
Yeah, sitting in for Judy Patrick.
That's right. And Alan Chartok, of course. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. There's a picture in the in the New York Times this morning of a lineup of people waiting to buy their pot.
Yeah.
In the state of Colorado. There is a line around, literally around the block to buy their marijuana. They lined up before dawn and in the snow on Wednesday. Baby boomers from Nebraska, retirees from Denver, and a young man who had driven all the way from Ohio. Some were longtime marijuana users. Some had been arrested for marijuana possession. They were among the hundreds of tourists and residents across Colorado who eagerly took part in the country's first ever sales of state-regulated recreational marijuana. They walked into 40 shops from downtown Denver to snowy ski resorts, flashed their identifications, and in one single transaction took part in what supporters hailed as a historic departure from drug laws focused on punishment and prohibition. It makes you giddy to say it. I went into a store and bought pot, said Linda Walmsley, as she walked out of the Denver Kush Club, where a line of shivering customers stretched down the block. 20 states allow medical marijuana. Voters in Colorado and Washington State decided last year to go one step further, becoming the first in the nation to legalize small amounts of the plant for recreational use and regulate it like alcohol. Colorado began promptly on New Year's Day.
And what happens if you... Because I really haven't prepared for this, but what happens if you buy the pot in Colorado and try to get on a plane to go back to New York, for example?
Federal offense, man.
So you really got, if you theoretically you buy it there, you better use it there as opposed
that's
to.
That's the idea. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, inevitably there'll be people who cross state borders with it, and there'll probably
buy
be some illegal. Some of it will be probably caught, and probably most of it won't. It's
just like now.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just not.
Well,
on the
one side, we have created, a sort of prohibition like. Industry where some bad guys, among others, do this sales and profit by it, organized crime and others. Whereas the other day we did a very interesting vox pop on driving drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And the troopers raised the marijuana issue about people that they stop. Who were really, and I said we treat it just like alcohol, which is basically if somebody is can't drive correctly, and if we see them swerving, and we can prove that, and they can't pass a field sobriety test, they're arrested, and I suspect that we are going to see some of that.
Here and
in Colorado.
In Colorado, certainly. That's my biggest worry, that the technology hasn't caught up with it. I mean, there's no simple breathalyzer test for marijuana
use. No, there
isn't. And how to ensure that people aren't doing dangerous things with under the influence of marijuana is probably the biggest issue. But, they're going to collect a big tax on this. The money is going to go to education. You've heard that before. I think that
education
the
of how story, they can buy it legally.
The story you cited, Joe, or another story I saw today, said $500 an ounce is what it's going for, which is probably way above the street value. But I don't know. There wasn't a chart or anything like that. But it does.
Those very high prices. $50 to $60 for an eighth of an ounce, nearly double the price of medical marijuana.
I have no idea what an ounce looks like.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it, but exactly how many, an eighth of an ounce, how many marijuana cigarettes, how many joints that would turn into. But it sounds like it's expensive, and a lot of it is going back to the government. But it's an experiment that everybody is watching. And the Justice Department says it's not going – marijuana possession and sale is still illegal on the federal level, but the Justice Department says it's not going to enforce that. It's going to let them do what they want to do within their own borders. And who knows? There could be another administration that might reverse that. Yeah. In a couple of years, you might have a real mess on your hands.
I don't understand the a la carte enforcement policy. In other words, you have a law. You're supposed to enforce it. I don't understand how you can just sort of say, well, that one we'll let slide.
Like well, some sheriffs in the New York Safe
same way about the
act.
Gun law.
Yeah.
but you're right, Raymond. That is a sticky wicket if you think about it. Because when the troopers again were here the other day, and there were these technical people who were calling up. I don't know if you heard this. And
I listened to the whole show.
Yeah. And saying, what's the open container law to the troopers? And saying, so if I have a container, a bottle in the trunk of the car, and it is closed and taped, technically, isn't that a violation of the open container law? Whatever. And people
right.
calling up with that kind of question. And the answer from the troopers were, that's not what we're looking for.
Right. I thought it was a good answer.
I thought they were very measured in how they answered all of those questions.
What about when you bring your beer bottles back for a deposit? I mean, they're open beer bottles with a little bit of beer in them. Technically, you're violating the open container law, but they're not going after that. They're not looking for that.
And
You just don't. What you don't want to do is, as I pointed out, and I mean it, is you don't want to sass the police officer who is just taking their lives in their hands every time they go to a tinted window, somewhere. and in an automobile and start getting legalistic with them, because then you're asking for trouble, I suppose.
I do want to just want to point out in this story that you obviously you have to be 21 to buy the pot. If you are an out-of-state resident, you can only buy a quarter ounce. If you're a state resident, you can buy an ounce at a time.
But they're going to get a lot more people signing up for citizenship.
Well, this is interesting.
You have to consume it. The law indicates you have to consume it in Colorado. And then carrying marijuana across state lines remains illegal, and the plant is not allowed at the airports.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, not allowed to buy it at the airport. That's a good thing.
As you get high before you get high.
In addition to the law enforcement issues and the main one is that it stays in your system much longer. In other words, alcohol, you have a couple of drinks, 2 hours later, you're legal to drive. Pot, you know, according to doctors, stays in your system, or the active ingredient.
Is pot, I don't know about these things, but is pot like alcohol in that your weight mitigates how long it takes?
Well, that's a good question. You've got a room full of real experts on marijuana
but, you know,
here.
No, on a room full of experts on weight.
I think the other interesting thing here is, will there be reefer tourism? In other words, will Colorado see a massive influx of people coming in just for that purpose, as they do when they go to Amsterdam, Holland, you know?
Sure.
So will there be a spike in tourism? I mean, I think that will show us
marijuana
the way as far as other states legalizing.
Yeah. Now, forget casinos.
Right.
Forget casinos.
The other concern that's been raised by this is that if, you know, it's easier for people underage, teenagers, to get their hands on marijuana, they'll use marijuana. People who use marijuana heavily do see a decline in their IQ. I mean, these are...
Is that right?
Yes. 5 or 6 points if they, you know, lower IQ if they're heavy users of marijuana. So recreational use, is that like every few weekends you just go and have a marijuana brownie and feel the effects, or is it something that becomes a habitual event with you and also cost you a great deal of money? I mean, there'll be all kinds of negatives. I'm sure we'll hear about those. This is a real study, a societal study, and everyone's watching it. And the state of Washington, which is doing it a little differently. They're not licensing the medical marijuana industry that's already in place. What they're doing is sort of creating a new way to farm and harvest and process and sell retail marijuana, and that's more like the liquor stores.
Sort of farm to table.
Yeah, farm to table. Right. Exactly.
You know, Alan, you have to do it, don't you?
And other states are watching closely, have medical marijuana, and I think it's going to push the discussion already. Senator Cousins has proposed a med marijuana bill again or is bringing one forward in the new session. And, it'll be a topic of discussion. How it works there will define how it works everywhere else.
If you guys have been watching any of the TV reports from Colorado, one thing that struck me, and I don't know these medical marijuana dispensaries, what they are. And I'm not saying that those states around us that have them, you know, they're anything but on the up and up. But if you go to Colorado, where they have relicensed these as retail establishments, I'll tell you what, they didn't look like medical dispensaries to me, just based on what I saw on
like
TV.
Head shops.
Yeah, no, they did.
It kind of looks like a dead
pot
show.
Store. Yeah.
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 Do they play Grateful Dead music
well,
when you go
I, you
in?
Know,
right,
hey,
hey, hey.
Well, I mean, Ray's right in the sense that, like, you don't see...
Like, there's not a doctor, you know.
There weren't a lot of
guy with one of those
ties,
things on his head, the reflectors. Oh, yes, here's your quarter ounce, sir.
But well, there was a reference to people in limousines having someone kind of go in and do their parsing for them, and they were...
The enthusiast called it Green Wednesday.
Fine.
That was nice. And also, I thought one of the other things is, yes, you have the licenses to sell, but then there's also the license to grow. And because you can only sell the pot that is coming from the state.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And so you also have to have that license to grow, and people are benefiting from that as well. So.
And I also like the way the media is having a field day on this. This is a top story around the country. And the New York POST, I never like to pronounce the name, has a big story with a guy holding a huge... The guy looks like something out of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts
All right.
Band. And he's holding a huge...
Just Just because he has long hair doesn't make him a bad guy.
Well, you're telling me that that's why they haven't put this guy's big picture all over the paper?
Right.
Because, you know, it's a point. And they say legal dope tops nation's new laws. I don't know that that's true, that it's more important than Obamacare. Do you?
No, but it does have the potential to have a sweeping effect, either on either more prohibition, greater prohibition, if
sure.
it doesn't work out, or you know,
well,
it's
wait
a big
till
story.
We see somebody under the influence wipe out somebody's family. Now,
which
that
already happens.
Happens with alcohol all the time,
and drugs as
and
well.
And with drugs, you know, also.
People
yeah.
who are proponents of legalizing marijuana would argue that if you smoked pot instead of used alcohol, you probably would mellow out, and you would just sort of say, "Oh well,
mellow yellow,"
you know. Yeah. And that probably would reduce domestic violence. I don't know. But it's all an experiment. It'll be watched closely. The media is doing what it should do. It's putting its eye on it.
Well, and one of the questions and something to really keep the eye on is also what will happen to the black market because of the price.
Right.
And what actually will happen to the black market and what impact will it have on legal versus illegal?
And you never know. I mean, you don't know, for example, like with OxyContin, that somebody who gets OxyContin after a post-operation doesn't sell it. Or methadone. We've seen that happen with methadone also. So you just don't know.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other stories. There are other stories. We'll get to those in just a minute, right after the short break.
Support comes from Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, a master's in social work, working to prepare students with the knowledge and skills to serve diverse populations in their communities. hudsonvalley.adelphi.edu. Bean Communications, strategic communications, public affairs, and crisis communications for 25 years, serving clients throughout the Northeast. BeanCommunications.com. And Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations.
Every break we take should have more Telly Savalas references.
Yeah.
I'm just going to allow you, the listener, to figure out how we got from marijuana discussion to Telly Savalas.
He used to have a lollipop. You know?
That's right.
That was the level of tolerance back then.
There's one story I wanted to get to. There's a new analysis from the Pew Research Center. Alan?
Pew!
Fewer Republicans today than in 2009 believe in evolution, according to a new analysis. A poll out this week shows that less than half, 43% of those who identify with the Republican Party say they believe humans have evolved over time, plunging from 54% 4 years ago. To me, that's fairly major, isn't it?
No, that's major because it speaks not only to political ideology, but what's the right word without getting too many telephone calls? Is to lack of knowledge.
Well,
there is a science here.
There is a rejection of scientific knowledge.
So from 54% to 43%. I mean, that's major.
And it's also political. In other words, we're on this side, they're on that side. So therefore, we have to. We have to reject it, just like we're doing, rejecting scientific research on global warming, for example. And by the time we figure it out, in that case, it'll be too late.
6 in 10 Americans say they believe humans have evolved. At 67% and 65%, respectively, the number of Democrats and independents who believe in evolution have remained more or less the same since the poll was first taken in 2009.
Why do they even take this poll? Why? What's to be gained?
I think there's a lot to be gained.
I think it's insightful. I mean, it shows you how people are It's like global warming. It's sure. like many other scientific arguments about the use of penicillins and inoculations sure. for children. Some people, you know, don't want to give their kids mm. vaccinations because they believe it's going to cause autism.
And endanger and
yet,
others.
Yeah, and yet it does endanger others when they're not vaccinated. And the study that everyone cites that says that vaccinations cause autism has been discredited.
Okay, that's a
but
different
if you don't
poll.
Believe, but don't you see? I mean, it's all science.
But don't you see, Ray?
Don't you see, Ray?
But don't you see? Who said that? Yeah. Which television character said that?
Well, who did, Alan?
Festus. On Gunsmoke. But don't you see?
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, I think it comes into education, right? I mean, education as to what we're teaching our kids, what we're teaching them as far as of teaching evolution, teaching the science.
I would say to you that this poll on the evolution question was only conducted just so that a group of people with an agenda could say, boy, Republicans are stupid.
No, well, people will use it to say that. There's no question. Yeah. I think somebody has.
I don't think there's any reason to
but,
have that poll.
But, well, there is a reason. And I think Michael put it very well when he said, you know, there's a whole question of how much we rely on science. Science tells us, virtually everybody, that there's a hole in the ozone layer or that it's being repaired right now, which is the last thing we heard about it because we're getting a little bit better about it. But Raymond, I mean, I think that if we have a society that turns its back on scientific thought, it tells us something that is very important for us to know.
All right.
And I also think it shows divisions within the Republican Party as a whole as well. If you look back, and as this study shows, that in 2012, during the presidential election, you had Rick Perry from Texas who brushed off evolution and said that it was a theory that had holes in it. And then you have John Huntsman, a Republican from Utah.
Who didn't get the first base in the primaries.
Who posted on Twitter and said, to be clear, I believe in evolution. I trust scientists on global warming. Call me crazy. And then you have Mitt Romney, a Republican and the ultimate nominee in 2012, who stated his support for evolution. He did say as guided by God, but he still supported evolution.
But I mean,
evolution.
Who cares? Right? Who cares? If I believe evolution happened or didn't happen, who cares?
We care as a society that measures what its people are thinking and doing as a result of that. I mean, it seems to me that that's what the issue is here. You know, we have a democracy. This gives us some insights into what people are thinking.
And doesn't it put, and maybe I'm off base here, but doesn't it put to a test to the separation of church and state? Yes.
Well, it might, except for what we just heard about Romney. I mean, you know, it's always seemed to me the ultimate.
I think a lot of mainstream churches recognize evolution.
The ultimate out is, sure, God had a plan, and evolution was part of God's plan.
Right.
Yeah, that is right. Exactly. Talking about the rapid change over just a few years that you referenced before, Joe, compared to 2009, how many fewer people believe in scientific evolution, et cetera. I think that might also, I mean, you could analyze that. Maybe they just are angry and they don't want to be counted with those liberals who follow science all the time. So when they may not believe in global warming, so when you ask them about evolution, yeah, I don't believe it. I don't believe that it was evolution. I believe that it was the way that it was said in the Bible, 7 days, et cetera. And, you know, it's almost an assertion to counter the growing trend towards, scientific knowledge.
By the way, Joe, J.H. wrote in at WMC, Roundtable at WMC, and said, religious organizations and funding birth control of any legal procedure must be covered. Separation of church and state should address this. My taxes support war, even though I personally oppose it. Just thought I'd read that to you.
There you go. And we also got one from Lynn on the legalization of... we got two letters on marijuana. One, Lynn said, first to raise question of how can it be okay to choose which laws to prosecute. Perhaps he missed the ruling last week on HSBC, the second largest bank in the world, which was let off with a fine equal to about 1 month of profits for laundering the money of drug cartels. But if someone has an ounce of pot, they should be prosecuted and put in jail. Well, that's what happens. So please use some critical thinking when you're discussing
wrong.
A subject.
Wrong. A wrong argument against what I said. My only question was, how does How do you have an a la carte, regardless of the penalties, how do you have an a la carte decision to enforce or not enforce laws? That is not to what I said, with all due respect to our listener.
Your point was well made that how it's not workable. You know, when you have one state with this law and another state with that law, and they're in contrary.
Well, but I thought that the writer had a very good point in that saying it's incomprehensible that these people who do this.
And I agree with her
get
point.
Get away with murder.
But it's not to my point.
You know, but a kid walking into a grocery store with a gun goes to jail for 10 years.
Couldn't agree more, but that's not what I was talking about.
No, she also says, obviously, none of you are pot smokers. That's okay. But then, really, is this a subject you should be discussing?
No,
absolutely. Everyone in the country is discussing
We're affected by it. I think it's absolutely reasonable for journalists to be looking at this, and it's worth thoughtful discussion.
It's a huge story.
But I confess.
I mean, you don't need it. You don't need to be a pot smoker to be qualified to.
But I confess,
this.
I'm not a. I've never been a pot smoker.
Well, I mean, if we were smoking pot, we'd have Quicksilver Messenger Service as our bumper music. You know.
Noah writes, "Hey, you guys should get a real expert on the pot subject. There are some really interesting race issues surrounding the prohibition issue, both in the enforcement, sentencing of minorities, etc., and the supply. Native American smuggling from Canada. It's a much more complex topic than it might appear to be."
I think that's right. I think
absolutely.
It is very complex, and there are a lot of issues, and that's why it's worth shedding light on and discussing it.
Ray, people need to care about whether or not people believe in evolution, because it is a foundational element of our understanding of science, influencing opinion on things like reproductive rights, climatology, and so many issues.
Well, I think I said something
you
like that.
You did say that.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, who wrote that letter?
The person who wrote the Alan, poll, who was out to make Republicans look like morons.
Or Alan from Great Barrington.
No.
No, it was not.
There you go. Well, we'll end there then with the
Well, I'm sure glad Judy didn't show up. Just get me out of here.
Suddenly, there was like a Munsters-like moment where her car was just screeching out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So long, Judy. Take it slow. It's snowy out there.
Thank you very much for being with us. Gentlemen, again, Happy New Year to all of you. And thanks to everyone who's listening and has participated and can write to us, roundtable@wamc.org. The roundtable will continue after this short break.